Thank you. We were glad when they said unto us, let us come into the house of the Lord. We all come just as we are, loved for who we really are by God, and called to accept one another. Surrounded by love, let us remove these masks of pretense and greet one another with signs of love and peace. The peace of the Lord be with you. Now let us offer that peace to one another. Please rise in body or in spirit and join with me in the invocation and follow the little crosses next to the thing. It tells us when to stand. Clap your hands, all ye people. God has gone up with a triumphant shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our way to the table together this evening, and Christ our Lord invites to this table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and wish to live in peace with one another. And so I invite all of us now to join in our confession that we might be aware and accepting of the grace that is offered to us. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news, my friends. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you.
Now, if you would, join me in our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. And now hear these words from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. The word of God for the people of God.
You can sit down if you want. Last year, I was scheduled to do the Jazz Mass Liturgy, and I was so excited. If you've met me more than once, you know that it doesn't take much to get me excited. I tend to be a fairly joyful person, but I promise you when I say, I love West End, and I love Jazz Mass at West End. I love all of the joy and the energy that it brings into this space where we come and worship and learn more about God. But last year was a weird year for me. In the days leading up to Jazz Mass, my grandmother passed away. So my spouse, Clint, and I were with my family in Kentucky. Her funeral was the morning of Jazz Mass, and I was debating on whether or not I should still do the liturgy for the service or see if someone could fill in for me. After all, I'd spent the last several days in mourning. Wouldn't it be wrong to go from a funeral service in the morning to a Mardi Gras service that evening? However, the more I thought about it, and I talked it over with my parents, the more I knew that Nana would want me to live into my pastoral calling and take every opportunity that I was offered to help me get there. So we rushed back to Nashville, and I did the liturgy. Standing in front of this incredible congregation semi-regularly to do liturgy has become such an incredible and formative experience for me. And since my Nana's passing, every time I'm up in front of this congregation, I think about how proud and excited she'd be for me, and I can't help but smile. The strength and support of current and past community can help us find and fully realize our identities. Now let's get to this passage. What is happening? We find ourselves privy to a scene that's hard to understand, much less explain, so I'm gonna give it a try. Jesus takes his best buddies up a mountain and introduces them to his two other buds, Moses and Elijah, who kinda sorta died a long time ago. Peter declares that, hey Jesus, it's good to be here, and asks Jesus if he wants him to build three tents on the mountain, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and another for Elijah. I'm not sure where he was planning for himself, James, and John to sleep, but that's his problem, not mine. While Peter was going on about these sleeping arrangements, a bright cloud surrounds them, and they hear the voice of God telling them to listen to Jesus. And Jesus starts glowing, and his clothes become white. Some translations even say bleach white. When I was discussing this passage with my professor, Amy Jo Levine, she said, oh, you're talking about glow-in-the-dark Jesus. So, upon seeing this glow-in-the-dark Jesus, Peter, James, and John fall to the ground in fear. Then Jesus touches them, tells them to get up and to not be afraid. And when they look up, all they see is Jesus. Okay, was this a vision, a dream, a hallucination? I have no idea. And I wonder, you know, logically, how did they know it was Moses and Elijah? Did they need sunglasses because Jesus' face was like the sun and we are supposed to wear protective eyewear? Was it a bright cloud? Sounds like an oxymoron. And why does Peter think this is a camping trip? There are so many ways that we can approach this text and so many things that we can do with it. And that is just one of the many reasons that I love theological and biblical study. There is an infinite amount of things that we can do with each and every passage. This transfiguration story is a recognition and a validation of Jesus' identity for himself and for those who witnessed it. There is a phrase, glow up, used to describe the tendency of awkward teenagers growing into what we culturally understand to be attractive adults. Glow up, or the process of glowing up, traditionally is used to explain a physical change, But I think it makes more sense to use it to describe the changes that we see when people finally meet who they really are. Let me give you an example. Although we didn't always get along, but I can now admit it, that my younger sister is one of the most genuine and kind-hearted people you will ever meet. Jody thinks of those that many forget. She checks in on people who she knows are having a tough time, especially the elderly in their church. She remembers the important days for them. She shows up for people and respects them without judgment. She has tremendous integrity and is always asking herself, what's the right thing to do? And that's where Jody gets passionate, doing the right thing, especially when it comes to helping others. For years, I witnessed my sister as she searched for professional meaning and purpose. Early on, she was drawn to the medical field because of our grandfather's need for medical care. But one situation after another seemed to shut doors for her, until she found a program to be a surgical technologist. Up to that point, I had absolutely no idea what that job was, but I quickly learned of its value. Surgical techs prepare for various procedures. They get to know specific doctors' preferences. They assist in various surgeries, pass the instruments to the surgeon, and I'm sure a whole lot of other things I will never be able to understand, much less pronounce. While my sister was in this program, I watched her come alive. Since I don't live in the same state as my immediate family, I saw leaps in her confidence and excitement from visit to visit. I was able to watch her go from a kind but quiet and sometimes reserved girl to this confident and passionate healthcare professional. I am in awe of the transformation that I have seen in her and extremely proud. And I still love asking her about what she's learning and what she's up to in the operating room because her face literally lights up. She's been glowing up. Can you think of a moment that you've had, or maybe you've seen someone else have, where everything just clicked? And this almost tangible feeling of glow overwhelmed you. Sometimes it might even give you goosebumps. We often experience these moments of glow when new life comes into the world, on someone's wedding day, with the news of a job opportunity, getting into college or a professional program, or when we secure housing for the next chapter of our lives, and even when someone looks in the mirror and truly sees themselves, gets to see themselves for the first time. These glow-up moments almost feel magical. And these moments of identity are holy, and they are made richer when the people we love are alongside us. What a beautiful validation of identity. In this text, I think we witness one of Jesus's glow-up moments. Jesus was with his great cloud of witnesses, his dear friends who he walked with daily, and he was met by two prophets who strove to help people love and serve God better. Jesus did not come to replace the work of Moses and Elijah, rather to fulfill it and expand it. Jesus is not only seen by those he knows, but he is affirmed by God and encouraged by these two prophets. When I was talking with my spouse about the sermon, the idea arose that we not only glow because of the change that's happening in us, but because of the space that we are in and those who surround us in that moment. Jesus transfigured right before their eyes. Jesus glowed up. While most modern translations of Matthew 17 translate the experience as transfiguration, a better wording might be metamorphosis. When I think of metamorphosis, I go back to fourth grade science class where we watched VHS tapes of larvae becoming caterpillars, and caterpillars going into their cocoons, and the cocoon shedding away and revealing a butterfly. Metamorphosis is when something reaches new levels of what it was already capable of being. Everything the creature needed to become a butterfly was within. It just took time. The same creature has become something new. The spirit and passion that my sister needed was in her all along, and I believe that the same is true for you and for me. God has created us all to be marvelously wonderful, but it's a process. I absolutely love that our scripture allows us to imagine this moment where Peter and James and John can see glow-in-the-dark Jesus in all his bright and shining glory right before we see the painful side of Jesus' passion and commitment. Just like the glowing moments I mentioned earlier, heartbreak can be close by. Times before and after these moments of transformation are difficult. We have this tendency to get so excited and lost in the buildup, and then we feel let down when it's all over, and we're left thinking, what now? That's why community is so important. It allows those around us to witness the ways that we are growing and glowing, so that we can be reminded of who we are when things get rough. Those who come before us, as well as those who journey up the mountain with us, help us recognize our true selves. West End is in the middle of a three-phase journey with the Gospel of Matthew, going upward, inward, and outward. In the past several weeks, our pastors have been taking time to talk about Jesus going up the mountain and various aspects of the Sermon on the Mount. Starting tomorrow, we shift into the season of Lent, where our focus moves from upward to inward. So tonight is where we make that pivot inward. What if this year, Lent served as a time in our own spiritual cocoons, intentionally committing to growing and reflecting on our faith in new ways, embracing the metamorphosis into the most beautiful and glowing versions of ourselves? We can glow up together. And part of glowing up together is reminding each other of what we've learned along the way. My sister reminds me of what it means to be who you are and not settle for less. The legacy of my Nana serves as a reminder of the strength that is deep within me. The love of my family and friends remind me that I am not alone. And West End has reminded me and reintroduced me to parts of who I am. And Jesus reminds me to glow in the dark. No matter what is waiting for us when we come down the mountain, it's important to take time and actually enjoy the warmth of the glow so that we know who we are for the journey ahead. So friends, hear this good news as we get into our Lenten cocoons. Get up and do not be afraid. You are God's beloved, and in you our Creator God is well pleased. Lean into that, lean into your true self, and glow. I invite you to affirm your faith with me, as I affirm mine, by reading the statement of faith on page 883. You may stand. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated.
And now, as we bask in the glow of the presence of God, hear this prayer that I offer to each and every one of us gathered here. God of feasting, we give you thanks for the richness of life. As Jesus turned water into wine at Cana and feasted with his followers, we remember your desire for all your people to celebrate life. Bless us as we celebrate the joy of being your people. Send your spirit to dance and sing with us. As we enter the season of Lent, may it too be a celebration of life, of an inward journey of contemplation and wondering, of learning and exploring. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to remember the life of your Son, the celebration and the suffering. And in all of this, may we experience the joy and pain of life together, so that we might grow closer to Jesus, to one another, and to you. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, you remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord,
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. And by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
And Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Creator, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as beloved children of God, let us pray together as Jesus taught by saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This is the body of Christ, broken for us and shared with each and every one of us. And this is the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation, shed for our salvation and shed that we might have life. In our Methodist tradition, this is an open table. And what that means is that anyone and everyone who wishes to know the loving grace of God is invited to share in this foretaste of Christ's heavenly banquet. At this table, we are welcome to bask in the radiant glow of God's holy light that illumines each of our lives. So no matter who you are welcome at this table as a child of God. A few notes about service tonight. First and foremost, we will be taking by intinction tonight, and that means you will come forward and you will put your hands out and you will receive a piece of bread, and then you will take that bread and you will dip it in the cup of juice, and that's how you will receive. So it's a little different from how we do it on Sunday, so just remember to hold on to that bread and then dip it if you're regularly here in our Sunday services. We will have two stations up front, one right here and one right here. If you will come by way of the center aisle, and then make your way back to your seats by the side aisles, that will be wonderful. There will also be a gluten-free station over here that Emily will have. So if you need gluten-free elements, come to this side. And Katie and I will come around through the congregation if there's anybody that needs to be served in their seats. Finally, the communion offering today, we have... It's actually not the communion offering. I don't want to say it wrong, Stacy. Help me out. The Lenten special offering. We have a Lenten special offering that is for our Habitat for Humanity. And so if you would like to leave some offerings on the communion rails as you come up, you may leave those there, and we will collect those at the end of the service, and they will go toward our Habitat for Humanity efforts this fall. Having said that, let us enjoy together this feast of God that is offered so freely to us.
Thank you. Thank you.
And now, even though there's not a cross in the bulletin, I'm going to invite you to stand, rise, embody your spirit, and join me in our prayer after receiving. So if you would, join me in our prayer. God of love, your hand is open wide in the care of every living thing. Make us always thankful for your loving providence and grant that we may be faithful stewards of your good gifts. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.